Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Hello, everybody. This is John Michael. All things are possible with God. Do you ever feel like that you're not able to pray the scripture through the day and get through a lot of scripture? We're going to talk about how to do that through the Liturgy of the Hours. Everybody, this is John Michael. All things are possible with God. Today we're going to be going through the Liturgy of the Hours. After the Mass, this is the second most important public prayer of the church. It's more important than the Jesus Prayer, more important than praying the Rosary. We're supposed to do sacred reading or Lectio Divina. But when we come together, this is the second most important prayer of the church. And how many of us actually pray the Liturgy of the Hours? Probably very few. Most priests, most consecrated religious, and many dedicated lay people pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day. But what is it? Where did it come from? Well, first of all, let's talk about the word liturgy. The word liturgy, it comes from the Greek letargia. Say that with me. Letargia. And it means the work of the people. Yeah, it applied to when we worship together. It applies to ministry in the scriptures. It also applies to taking up an offering and taking care of the poor. That's all liturgy. It was used in the Greek world for road builders, bridge builders. God help us, maybe it even applies to politicians. So liturgy means the work of the people, doing the work of the people. But St. Benedict of Nursia in the 5th century, he's the father of Western monasticism, he calls the liturgy the work of God. Wow, say that with me. The work of God. Liturgy is where the work of God and the work of the people come together. It's where heaven and earth meet. Liturgy is not just about getting the words right and mumbling through the responses at Mass or saying the scriptures in the Liturgy of the Hours. So liturgy is where heaven and earth meet. So cool. So cool. But the Liturgy of the Hours is a very, very overlooked liturgy for most Catholics. And it's something that the Church is really encouraging us to rediscover and to pray in our parishes. So, where'd it come from? Well, the Liturgy of the Hours really goes back, as I explained in the little teaching on the Rosary, it goes back to the first monks in Egypt. And the first monks in Egypt prayed all 150 psalms every day. Wow, that's a lot of scripture. And they had to memorize it. You had to learn how to read if you couldn't read. That was a big one. And then you had to read the scriptures, memorize the Psalms, and read and memorize the New Testament. In the early church, you know, the hermits prayed, they would come out of their hermitages, and they would pray at the ninth hour or at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when Jesus died. So they would come out and they would pray so that they could hear each other. They didn't actually meet in church. But then St. Pachomius, who founded community monasticism, they weren't hermits. They lived under one roof and they were in big communities together. They would come together in church and they would pray this. So there are two different traditions of the Liturgy of the Hours, the monastic tradition and the cathedral tradition. We know from the early church that they prayed what we would call Vespers, or what they called the lamp lighting prayer. When it was getting dark, they would light the lamps, and people would gather in the cathedral, and they would pray the Psalms. So they would celebrate Mass, or the Eucharist, in the morning, but they would pray the Psalms together at lamp lighting, or Vespers. So, in the cathedral tradition, it would be done either with the deacon or with the bishop of the cathedral and of the diocese. People would gather together, and they would go through the Psalter thematically. They would group different psalms in different ways. For instance, there would be psalms of praise and thanksgiving. There would be psalms of contrition. But they would go through in a thematic way. The monks did not use a thematic gathering of how they prayed it. They went through numerically. And what ended up happening in the early church was, in the cathedral tradition, they prayed thematically, and they got this idea of sanctifying certain hours. So, as the liturgy of the hours began to be prayed even more frequently than just Vespers, they would sanctify certain hours of the day. And in the monastic tradition, where they prayed all 150 psalms, it was a meditation. In the cathedrals, they would often sing the psalms, and people would respond to them. So there would be a cantor congregation element that was sung. In the monastic tradition, there would be one or two monks that would stand at a lectern and by memory would recite the psalms. The monks would sit in the prayer room called an oratory, and they would weave baskets sitting on the floor or on low benches. So it became a meditational service. So you have these two different traditions developing in the early church. Now they began to come together. And they came together specifically in the monastic tradition of John Cassian, and then later with Benedict, St. Benedict, who wrote the Rule of Benedict in the West. So let's take a look at these. So we see the 150 being prayed daily by the hermits and the monks. Again, a lot of scripture, a lot of Bible memorization, a lot of changing what you think so that you change who you are. And then we have with John Cassian. John Cassian brought the monasticism of the East to the West. He came up into what is the south of France, at close to the little island of Lorenz, which is close to where the Cannes Film Festival is celebrated today. So he brought monasticism up into Western Europe. Also, the Celts came around and came in from the north. So the Eastern monasticism was going into the West. And he said that there was an angel that appeared to say to pray 12 psalms at each hour. So there's evidence that was already a development. They weren't just being prayed straight through, but they were breaking them into certain times of the day. By the time of St. Benedict, he thought, you know, and this is where it gets kind of cool and groovy, folks. We're just getting into a numbers game. We're trying to get through the Psalms, trying to pray our prayers. Do any of you ever fall into that? Got to get my prayers done. Got to get my Bible reading done. Got to get my devotions done. Benedict said, no, let's focus on quality, not on quantity. So he mitigated the cycle to 150 psalms every week. That's still a lot. And it didn't change until much, much later. But there's a key and an important change that's happening here. We're going from a lot that takes a long time to something that is slower and takes a longer time. And then in the 20th century, a group of monks that's an ecumenical monastery, still today, it's very well known, Teze, or some people would call it Teze, and they said, no, let's slow it down to 150 psalms every month. Every month. Vatican II and John the 23rd loved the monks at Teze and Brother Roger. God rest his soul. And he said, they're on to something. So when Vatican Council II met, they said, let's reform the Roman Liturgy of the Hours so that we're praying all 150 psalms every month. And let's omit the psalms that are more violent, because it's hard for Christians to pray those prayers. So we see a development, don't we? In the West, the Roman Liturgy of the Hours is really about going through the whole Psalter in the course of a month and praying them with great meaning, taking our time, letting them soak in. So in the second part, we're going to look at the hours and a little bit on how to actually pray these psalms in our setting. And I'll give you a few tips from how we pray it at Little Portion Hermitage at the monastery back in Arkansas. We have a beautiful, beautiful liturgy, and we pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day throughout the day, and we do it in a gorgeous way. So I want to share some of that with you. See you back here.
Come worship the Lord, for we are his people, the flock that he shepherds. Alleluia. One last time now.
So let's go through the traditional hours that are prayed really in the East and the West. You can see it in the Ashbeah today with Coptic monks, and you can see it in the Roman Liturgy of the Hours today. And we see the real evidence of these hours in the Rule of Saint Benedict. So what are they? Well, first of all, we can look and we can see that the first thing that's mentioned in the rule is matins. Matins basically means vigils. And so the monks would get up, they would go to bed at after Vespers, at sundown, they get 8 hours sleep. Everybody thinks, oh, the monks never slept. No, they got a full 8 hours. Nowadays, I think modern people would like a full 8 hours. I don't know about you guys. I was staying in a hotel doing this taping, and the guy upstairs went to bed late, and he got up early. I got about 3.5 hours sleep last night. So we'd like a full 8 hours. They got 8 hours sleep. They come back together at about 2 or 3 a.m., see, and they would pray vigils. And it's a long prayer. You know, you go through a lot of scripture, a lot of psalms, and you also hear readings, not only from long scripture readings, but readings from the early church fathers. It is a gorgeous prayer. But they prayed it at 2 or 3 a.m. There's another tradition that comes from the Franciscans and the Carthusians and the Dominicans. They get up at midnight. They break their sleep. They pray for a good 2 or 3 hours. And then they go back to bed and they wake up a little later in the morning. But that vigil office is powerful. It's when we keep watch with Christ. And in the darkest hours of the night, when sometimes the worst sins of the world are happening, we get up in the middle of the night and we pray. Well, and then we go back to bed, and prime is the first hour. It is sunrise. It's resurrection. Resurrection. So the way that works today is we pray the invitatory, or prime, and then a prayer office called Lauds. And Lauds means praise. That we wake up in the morning and the first thought out of our mind is praise God. We can wake up in the morning and go, oh God. The older I get, I go, it hurts over here and it hurts over here. My neck hurts. Oh gosh. Oh God. Or I can wake up in the morning and go, oh God. Huge difference, same words. So Lauds has this element of it, a praise of God, thanking God. We come back together for what is called terce. Means the third hour. 9 o'clock, thereabouts. And it is a symbolic situation of the trial of Jesus. Jesus stayed up all night, if you recall, and early in the morning, first thing in the morning, He was on trial before Pontius Pilate. So the third hour, our terce, we remember the trial. And it's a little shorter hour. Today, you come back just very briefly and pause, and pray a psalm, not too many, and just pray. Sext is the sixth hour, or 12 noon. 12 noon. What happened at 12 noon? Well, at 12 noon, Jesus had been condemned to death, and they take him out to crucify him on Golgotha. And they put him up on that cross. So at 12, we are remembering, are we carrying our cross today? Are we walking, dying to the old self? Are we bringing the old carnal attachments and letting them die, the old ego attachments that make us unhappy? Are we letting them pass away? We come back together for what's called none, or that would be the ninth hour, or about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And what do we remember there? We remember at three, that's when Jesus died. Not only are we bringing the old self to the cross, are we letting go? Let it die. Let go and let God. How powerful is that? Then we come back together at Vespers, or the lamp lighting prayer. This is when Jesus is taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb. Do we bring the old self and just let the old person just lay him in a tomb? Let him. Don't keep trying to bring that old guy back, that old gal back. Don't do it. It'll just make you miserable. Put it in a tomb. Roll the stone over the dadgum thing and let go of it. That's Vespers. That's Vespers. And the two hinges of our day are morning prayer and evening prayer. Lauds and Vespers. There's one more. That's called Compline. It's night prayer. The last thing you do before you go to bed, you pray. So we begin with prayer and we end with prayer. So the whole day is being wrapped in the life of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, our dying, our rising in Christ, by these symbolic hours throughout the day. They're very doable. We only do 150 psalms every month. Some little tips. First tip is slow down. Don't rush through it. Many religious communities pride themselves on their. They can get through Vespers or Lauds in 8 minutes, 12 minutes at most. No. In our community, we take 30 minutes. I'll show you how to do that in a little bit. We pray. Pray them. Let your cadence. Sing them, maybe. It slows them down. And pause after each psalm and let it soak in. Well, you know, at the monastery, we pray the Psalter every day, and we've learned to slow down, and we do that by singing. So if you have a Liturgy of the Hours, you can find them online, by the way. I want to pray Psalm 95. We begin every morning at Prime with Psalm 100 or Psalm 95, and I want to sing it. We're going to sing it together, just parts of it. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. And then what the Fathers teach is this sets you up for after that, you pray in silence. So the psalm sets you up for prayer, and then there's actual prayer in the silence after the psalm. So I'm going to sing it for you. When you sing, it's the cadence is sung speech. You don't sing like an opera singer or a singer. It's easy to sing. So we'll start with the verse. Come, let us sing to the Lord, and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord. And then we join together. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth, and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. And then at the end of every psalm, we stand, and then we bow for the glory be. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Then we rise. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And then we sit in silence, and we wait for the Holy Spirit to bring out the line that speaks to each of us the clearest. And we let three people, two to three, recite back the word or the line. What I liked in this was, let us bow down and worship. Jesus is the focal point of every psalm. When we talk about warfare in the Psalms, we are talking about spiritual warfare, not against people. You never pray against people. You're talking about the warfare with the old self inside yourself, bringing that old self to the cross and letting it die. You never project the warfare spoken of in the Psalms onto other people. If you want to change the world, you start with yourself. So pray the Liturgy of the Hours. Let it change your day, and let Jesus change your life. I love you guys. I'll see you back here next time. God bless you. Worship and bow down.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.